CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, humans of planet Earth. It is the GCS. I'm not Gareth Cliff. The lovely lady with me is Lebang.
Really? You're not Gareth Cliff?
I'm Gareth Cliff adjacent, you know?
That's what that is. What okay. Good morning, Mbulelo.
How are you doing there, Lebang?
I'm doing good. I'm happy. I'm excited, except like I'm in the office this morning. And when I got here, I realized that I left my cell phone at home. So I'm just like, oh man, I don't have my phone. I'm like fidgety. You know when you feel like something is just not on you and it should be?
No, because I'm always on time.
That's what's happening.
I'm always on time. I don't know what to do.
So let's go through it.
What happened? Why did you leave your phone home? No, let's make it a teaching moment, you know, for all of us.
But okay. But I wasn't late.
So what happened? Don't worry about that. Let's go with the what happened with the cell phone. Is
okay. So
you got up. You've got a rugby team of kids. They're all pulling your hair.
You know the drill. So okay. I was like, you know what? Let me just exit the house and just get to the office on time.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. Uh-huh. Upon arrival, I realized that I don't have my phone. So I'm like, you know what? I left it in this bed and the person that's sleeping in this bed is 2 years old. So if anybody calls or whatever, whatever. But the reason why I'm telling you is because as I opened up my laptop, I realized like messages were still coming in and I'm able to respond. So the way technology is set up, even though my phone's not here, I'm still
connected.
So I feel good. I feel great, you know?
Yeah. And listen, for those of you at home, obviously today is Friday. In the Republic of South Africa, it's certainly Friday, and it'll become Friday wherever you are, or has been Friday already, wherever else you are in the world. We all know what Fridays actually are, right? It's the day where the fake meeting gets booked at around sort of 2:30. I think everybody's mastered this for. So for every boss who, like, I think all bosses know, and we just kind of keep it kind of happy where everyone's got that meeting that's 30 minutes away from work. It just happens to be at O'Hagan's and it's to close the big deal. So shout out to everybody who's already two glasses of wine in by 3 o'clock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, shout out. It's a very, very, like, it's a real thing now more than ever. Because aren't we just at that time of the year where we're just like tired almost? Like we've been grinding the entire year. We're just doing this now. So, let December just be upon us, please.
Now, Lebang, we couldn't live more opposite lives, right? And I have been, you know, people are saying end of the year, da-da-da, you know, is... I want to quickly ask you about living with a family in these times. And if you are just joining us, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be on planet Earth. Gareth Cliff is not here. He is somewhere getting his back tickled. That's what he loves. Gareth has always said he would pay someone to tickle his back. So I imagine that's where he is now. Gareth is away. He will be back next week at some stage. I think it's Thursday Gareth will be back. So it'll be myself and the team for a couple of days. But Lebang, for December, what's it like to spend it with kids, you know? Because for me, I only have to think of what do I want to do, and that's exactly what's happening. Whereas for you, what sort of dynamics do moms and dads deal with? I have always wondered.
So the very, very nice thing about December is literally as soon as the kids like close for holidays, we ship them off to granny, to grandpa. Honestly, like I've never had a December with my kids, like with them every single day because I've never needed to. It's their one opportunity to just get shipped off to their other parents who are my parents or my partner's parents and they get to deal with them. It literally becomes like that kind of vibe where now I've got like some alone time or I've got some quiet time with my partner or we can actually do just catch up on, you know, the union that we're building. And the kids are literally living their best lives at granny and grandpa's place. They're eating chocolates every day. They're freaking running around like headless chickens. It's literally a 24/7 party for them. And then we catch up with them around Christmas time. And then, yeah, back to reality. So I can't say I have to experience four children during December. Thank the Lord.
And do you ever think to yourself, oh no, my kids are gone. Other kids exist. Now they're going to be filling my kids' minds with stuff? Or do you just think, hey, let these rugrats get out there and play in the mud and punch each other in the face or whatever they do?
It It definitely does happen, and it's out of my control. So, for example, the last time, I think during Easter, I'd shipped my kids off to Mpumalanga to my partner's parents' place, and my kid, who is so unfamiliar with like the rural areas, ended up getting like into an altercation with a cow.
And to be clear, that's not your mother-in-law. So you're not. That's not your mother-in-law you're referring to. You're actually referring to a real bovine.
Oh my word.
I'm just checking.
Leanne, good morning.
Hi. Sorry, guys. I see there's some comments presuming that I was sleeping in. I woke up to this enormous flapping noise in my house. Couldn't figure out what it was. And there was a pigeon stuck in my lounge with three very hungry, early morning hungry. You know that very hungry? With three cats staring up at it, waiting for it to make a mistake. So I had to sort that out, but I'm here now. So yes, morning. Please continue.
No, I mean, you've got a war of the worlds going on there. Lebang's shipping her.
Right?
Yeah, Lebang's shipping her children off to go and fight with bovine creatures. And to be clear, I want to clear it up. She is not saying her mother-in-law's a cow. This is a real incident with a child and a cow. Lebang, what are you talking about?
Listen, my mother-in-law is like so dope. She's one of the best. So let's not even go up that alley. What I'm saying is like my kid, my seven-year-old, has been with me like his entire life. Yes. And we've literally been here in the northern suburbs. So he doesn't really have any experience with like a lot of things that aren't in the northern suburbs. You know, we didn't really travel a lot. I think we just went to Durban like once. So the first time I took him to my mother-in-law's place was this year in April. Shipped the kids off and he's there. Kids are speaking languages he doesn't understand. Kids look different. They behave different. Kids are running around with knives. Like, he's just like, whoa, this really is a different world. It's like every kid for himself. Yeah. It's like war 24/7. So they get sent to the shops, as you know, kids do, and they run off to the shops. And then as they get to the shops, there's like a cow on the loose. So if you grow up in the rural areas and there's a cow on the loose, I think you all know to run. Just instantly run, vacate, exit.
Those beasts might chase you. I've been chased.
Yeah. My kid has no idea what's going on. He's like, oh, a cow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Long story short, he ended up with like bruises and scars. And at some point it was like on top of him because he just kind of froze and was just like fascinated by this animal in front of him. Anyway, he came out okay, just, you know, some battle scars. Now he just tells people the story of him and the cow when he's at school, just to make him feel like some sort of like hot shot. And other kids are always like, oh my word, you got hit by a cow? And he goes, yeah, but it was nothing. I know he was suffering. Like,
oh yeah. Man,
that is awesome.
Shame.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like I like that they get exposed to like, you know, different worlds and different things and different experiences. Like there's no shower, for example, in most of the houses in the rural areas, and all he knows is showers and baths. So the first thing he says is, "Mommy, where am I supposed to wash?" You know, it's little things like that, but I'm like, yeah, well, this is the real world, my boy. Go pour water from the JoJo outside, wait for this water to boil, get inside this little tub and scrub your bum. Like, I like the fact that now he, you know, he has to adjust. I love it because I don't want them to give Vasco exactly. Vasco, you know,
exactly. Wash your bits.
Yes. Scrub your bits.
Now, Leanne, when you hear this, are you thinking to yourself, oh, thank God I didn't have kids? Or would you want to be in the mix there?
Ooh, there's a lot to unwrap.
Because, I mean, kids are great as long as they're someone else's, how I feel. But
yeah, just absolutely number one, straight off the bat. I'm like, thank God I don't have kids. And I love watching them on TikTok, but that's the most distance that I'd like. Yeah. As mentioned before, I'm a Kazanti, which is a cousin aunt to my little cousin nephew. And I absolutely adore him. And he's probably the only child in the world I know and love. But yeah, so I'm happy to wake up to a pigeon being stalked by my four cats rather than, I mean, I've been stalked and no, what's the word? It was like the bull run in Spain by a herd of cows before.
Where?
And
where were you?
rural. Okay. I was rurally located.
No, but both of my parents are rurally located, and I've never been stalked by a cow. And I used to go to my grandmother's house both sides often.
Like, okay, so I've lived next door to cows and horses and had cows in my garden, and I've lived on a farm before in very rural areas. However, completely separate to that, I was supposed to partake in a mountain bike race, but you can tell Mbulelo, I can see already from your face, you know that I didn't partake.
Oh, no, I was simply I'm not a judgmental observer. Person. I'm not a judgmental person.
I was simply an observer. So it was Mabale and I, and Damon was actually doing the actual work on the mountain bike. But we were in the combi, which had the refreshments, so we ensured that we were well hydrated and well entertained in the combi. And it was through the Midlands of KwaZulu-Natal, and it was on dirt roads. And we pulled the combi over. We were slightly ahead of the cyclists. We pulled over and just, you know, got station set up and ready. And we were welcomed by those rural kids that you were just talking about now, who are just so delightful, came running over and helped us set up cups and everything. And standing outside with Mabale, and the next minute we see along this very narrow cliffside, steep cliff and just a dirt road etched into the side of it. We were parked there with the combi. And this herd of cattle started walking up this road towards us. So they had nowhere to go left or right. They had to just walk straight. Like that little rhyme that we used to sing in primary school. We walk straight. You better get out the way. Yeah. If you don't get out the way, we'll kick you out the way. And they were on a mission. And all was fine. They were kind of being peaceful. And we stood to the side. And then one of the bulls decided to hump one of the cows.
Oh, wow.
Through this process, and she was not in the mood. She was not having any of it, and set off this enormous trot, which set off the whole herd, and they started running towards us. There was dust flying up. We had nowhere to go. And Mabale is now looking at me with her back to all of this, so she doesn't know what's happening. And so I know now that the only safe place is to get back into the combi.
Yeah.
That's the only way to go. It's either down the cliff, run up the hill, or get into the combi. So she still doesn't know what's going on. And I just put my hand on her back. And she's a slight woman. She's very small. And I pushed her with one hand into the combi. and just, I was actually pushing her out of the way. I was only thinking of myself. I wasn't doing it for her safety. She was just in the way. Yeah. So I moved her out of the way, which happened to be into a place of safety.
Oh my God.
And then heffered my way back in behind her. But yes, yeah, that was the day this is why I understand why being around cows that are peaceful animals can be really tricky.
Can be dangerous stuff. Leanne, before you came on, we were discussing fake meetings happening. I just wanted to get your sort of take. I mean, are you in that business? Do you know anybody who's always got that 2 o'clock, 2:30 Friday meeting? Because I know it's fake meetings now.
Oh, you mean like where they say I can't do so and so because I've got a meeting?
Yeah, because it's Friday now. By like 2:30, you know, guys have already had the first the first grolsch has already been knocked back down, and guys are
and usually we have load shedding to blame, so we can say no, I'm being load shat from 3 p.m. on Friday. So
load shat.
We can usually do that. But yeah, fake meetings, and also knowing now that I'm on Microsoft Teams with an actual business organization, I didn't realize that you are supposed to change your status as to whether you are available, busy, do not disturb, etc. And yeah, you can see people on a Friday tend to put like do not disturb or in a meeting.
Yeah,
from 3 p.m. onwards.
They should give you in an entanglement, you know, like for that should be a cool thing, like with Jada Smith's face next to it. in an entanglement.
Oh my gosh.
That's what the situation should be with.
Aren't you,
Martin von Furen says, I was living in Hong Kong and took my daughter with me hunting on our South Africa trip when she was 6 years old. There were two boys in our hunting group that time. I think there might be a little more to
give
that
us more
story.
Yes, Martin.
Yeah. Martin, you've left us. I mean, that's a real cliffhanger, right? That on that message.
That yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I think Martin's saying, yeah. You know, when you're from Hong Kong, which is just like make money, go to sleep at night, and you bring kids to Africa, it is a different kettle of fish. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is. But Lebang, you were going to say?
Jeez, I completely forgot what I was going to say, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't happen to me.
Like, you know, when you have something in your mind, you're like, oh, I was going to say, like, aren't we like, no, I know, I'm tired of like hearing about the Smith family. It's like something happened in the past 3 weeks where people only want to talk about Will Smith and only want to talk about Jada Pinkett Smith and only like, we're tired. It's like, no, you know, let it go. Bye.
Wait.
Was it just me? Like, I feel like I'm
now?
Suffocated.
What happened now?
Like, I was like a week ago where Jada was like, I need to learn how to love again. And then everyone was like, yeah, you see, well, she's never loved you. You see, well, she's been wearing the pants in the relationship. And then after that, it was like Will Smith was telling a story about he was in love with some other actress lady. It's just every week a development into this open marriage that really has nothing to do with us. I'm literally pleading to all media houses to just stop writing about Will and Jada Pinkett Smith. We are tired. Please.
Will Smith said like, he wanted to kill his dad.
What? You see? Why do we need to know that? Why do we have access to that information? Nah.
It's in his upcoming memoir, Leanne. I don't know. So his father, I mean, it's a common situation. So my first response was what Leanne's
what,
was.
What, wanting to kill your dad?
No.
Is a common situation.
No, yeah, well, contextually
in
it makes sense.
In these circumstances. Like, no. So I didn't want to kill my dad. My dad was not an abusive man. In Will Smith's case, though, very abusive father, and he said, when I get strong enough, I want to kill him, in and amongst other stuff. And not only will I do that, I will join Scientology and go completely loopy, and a teenager will have sex with my wife, is probably what he was thinking. What a terrible set of circumstances.
He definitely wasn't thinking the latter.
Sure, slow down, guys. What?
Right? Well, so loaded.
While we slow down and have a sip, I see there was a comment that this looked like a pale ale.
Yeah, so I was going to say, that does look a little, it's a little tasty there, Leanne. What is that? German?
It's a new electrolyte vitamin C booster pack thing that you're supposed to have once a week.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I'm having now.
Okay, so it's from your new company.
This, by the way, makes me healthy.
Oh.
And means that I've joined the group of health.
Who knew? It's so easy, huh? Nico Kritzing says, Leanne, that looks like a pale ale you're busy with there. No tea is served with that Mursa glass. there are some
You're
things.
Very right, Nico.
Yeah.
And it means that I've crossed the path and I'm now one of the healthy people.
That's it. Okay. Living the brand and it's that easy to be healthy. Lebang, your plans for the weekend, are you guys doing anything interesting? I mean, South Africa's open now. Let's stop with the nonsense. We are wide open.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. I have no interest in doing anything this weekend. My weekend kind of started on Wednesday. Friends of mine were having like an event. So I went out on Wednesday already. And then last night, another friend of mine had like a listening session. So I went out yesterday again. I am capped. I'm cool. I'm just going to stay indoors and be a present mother. And that's that. Well, I hope.
Very calm of you.
Yeah. Very
like, I just have to just like pull myself towards myself and just like switch off my phone.
Have a moment. Can I see your voting thumbs, guys?
Mine's just out of interest. I've already cleaned mine.
Yeah.
Lebang didn't vote. What a mess.
Don't say it like that.
Leanne, look at that.
Ooh,
they've made a mess of your finger.
So
it goes all the way around.
Yeah, it actually dripped into the sides. So I'm at my voting station, and because attendance, as we know, generally was really low, there were only about three people in front of me. And I was watching the guy with the ink, and he was so bored. Oh, my goodness, because this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon already. And I can see him slowly dipping the ink into the pot. And he's looking at me. And I think he was targeting me. He had his head tilted to the side and he was just kind of blank faced. Anyway, got there and he went, "Come for your tattoo." Okay. Which I thought was very creepy. Took my hand. He then looked me in the eyes while the brush was on my finger and he just held it there. And I could feel the cold liquid running into my cuticles. And I was like, "Why are you being like this?" But I just took it and moved on. But yeah, I'll be marked for a long time going forward. So this weekend, that was your question. What are your plans? I'll be trying to scrub off or just paint my nails.
But here's what I don't get, right? Is it's mostly digital, right? You've got to be registered on a system. Right? For voting.
Yes.
Why do we need the mark on our finger? There's only one of me with my ID. What are we preventing
because,
by marking me?
Bolelo, obviously there was something that happened in the past where somebody tried to come back in and re-vote and somehow got past the digital and the crossing off and all of that.
Come on.
But I mean, if I was to commit voter fraud, I'd need to chop off my thumb in order to re-enter.
Yeah.
You'd be,
you know,
four,
is the thing.
Three and four fingers.
three legs, nine fingers.
That is so good, Leanne. I got to be honest with you. I would like to hear, like, "Oh my God, did you hear Leanne's thumb came off? Wow, what happened? She tried to vote twice. She tried to vote twice." Hey, you get what's coming.
And it's probably happened, hey?
Yeah, no. They, listen, there's some wild stuff happening out there.
Yeah.
Things like...
It's like So I was chatting to a UK client of mine, and he said... he said, "I emailed someone on Monday and no one replied." And I said to him, "Oh, that's probably because Monday was a public holiday, because we were voting that day." Mm. And he went, "What? You get a day off to vote?"
Yeah, I'm just as shocked. I'm just as shocked.
No, but I wanted to say to him, dude, and this was actually before I knew that the voter turnout was so low. I said to him, "Look, we deal with a lot of queuing issues, protest action, people being frog marched out of stations, fighting over ballot boxes, mob justice groups, protesters, living in a rural area way far from your voting station, or having to get back to the rural area to vote. We've got a lot of issues to deal with just to vote. It's not like just pitching up.
Pop on the old,
we deserve this day.
Yeah. We don't have an underground here, which works. But actually, you know what? As much as I complain about South Africa, is we're not bad at queuing. We're actually not bad at queuing. You go to the United Kingdom, right? Let me just tell you something about those pasties, right? They are terrible at queuing. They are like, it's just, everyone's just so greedy. It's small, it's tiny. Like, we're not bad. It's slow, but we're civil.
Are they really?
Yeah, South Africans are civil because we're very conservative. We stick in our little bubble. As much as they will breathe on your neck in South Africa, they don't mind being right up against you. When we queue here,
we're also used to queuing for anything.
Maybe that's why we're good at it. You know, the best way to learn a simple task is repetition. And boy, oh boy, South Africa. But we're not bad at queuing. Let me tell you, Europeans, not good at queuing. They are not good at it. I want to tell you, Germany as well. Finland, not good at queuing. I grew up there. They're not good at it. I'm telling you, not bad at the sauna, but not good at queuing. So South Africa actually has a leg up on these guys. So you know what happened to me yesterday? And I think it's fantastic that I have two women with me here to be able to answer this. So I have a guy on the MKT show, right? His name's Ryan. And I'm trying to get advice from ladies because it's, on the show, it's just dudes. Is he's trying to move his life from, let's put it this way, from single to it's complicated. Because I don't want to say relationship, it's a little overcommittal. He's trying to take his life from I'm single to it's complicated with a lady. But then he said these magical words. He said, I want to be, you know, with someone in a situationship, but I don't respond well to feedback. And I said, Oh, dear Ryan, if you're going to get a lady, if there's one thing I know about ladies, they will give you feedback and they expect that feedback immediately to be acted on. But is that just me being a guy, or what does Ryan have to do? Could you guys give me one tip to pass on to Ryan?
Firstly, is he a sports guy?
Yes.
A huge one.
Yeah, yeah. No, most likely. Ryan's into sport. Yeah, yeah.
But because then he should be used to feedback.
No, well, no. He's not like that kind of sports guy. He's just used to, he's into sport, but he's not like from a sports background. No.
Okay. Then the simplest thing I have is pretend you're a pro rugby player and imagine all the feedback you'll get from the public, from your coach, from your teammates, and think about that. And then remind yourself that it's not so difficult being in a relationship.
Okay.
Has he already found this person?
No. He's open to the market. Ryan is currently open to the market. So I thought I'd just ask ladies, because he doesn't like taking feedback. And I said to him, all right, you're about to stay single for the rest of your life, because I've met ladies before. They are feedback central.
Yeah, look, I think if he hasn't even like found the person that he wants to get into a situationship with, then he shouldn't be overthinking anything.
Oh, sorry. I didn't tell you the important part of the story. No. There are other factors. There are, as the ANC would say, mitigating circumstances. He's got 5 weddings coming, and what one annoying thing people that all relationship people do, we all know it, and if you're in a relationship you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, is that because you're in a relationship, what's wrong with Ryan? Oh my God, we should introduce him to someone. Why is he still single? He should be like us. We're the best people in the world. We saved. We're going to cure cancer, as every person in a relationship thinks. So he's under that kind of pressure now where his friends want him to come to weddings, and they're always asking him like, oh, Ryan, you have to meet this girl. You know what I mean? So now he's trying to just stop that annoying thing happening in his life.
Okay, so first of all, not all couples are like that. It just sounds like, you know, you need better friends if your couple's friends are just telling you you need to get into relationships, number one. Number two, again, like if he hasn't found a person or whatever, he shouldn't be thinking about, oh, what is it going to be like when I do? He should probably just like take it easy, you know, maybe start chatting to some people. It'll just feel right if it's meant to be. Maybe he'll find a person that doesn't give him too much feedback. You know, we shouldn't put like a blanket term on a situation that doesn't even exist yet. You know, it's like he's sort of like going to be shooting himself in the foot. Just let him take one moment at a time. If he's going to a wedding, tell him to try out Tinder. Tinder's got like some cool people that he can just take on a first date to a wedding. It's a complete stranger. There's no attachment. Take them to a wedding. They eat for free. They meet your people, whatever. After that, if you don't dig them, the end. Like, you don't, it's not a big thing. And if he's going to 5 weddings, he can take 5 different girls on a first date.
There we go.
It's a win-win.
All right.
It's a win-win.
Hey, and remember, you can comment. Please like, share, subscribe if you're joining us for the very first time. If you are new, welcome to the GCS. If you're wondering where Gareth Cliff is, he's having his back tickled in an unnamed location.
Yes.
And he will be back
with
next
a feather.
Week. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not one to comment on that. I don't know what he's into in terms of back tickling.
So Martin gave us the other part of that story in the comments.
Okay.
So he was like,
yes, please, yeah, get
please,
back
please,
to that.
Please pull it up, because I'm sitting here like itching for the rest of that story, Martin. I
and
think
it's
we're
shocker.
Talking about right.
All right. So Martin says, well, my daughter and the two boys were running around on our return to Hong Kong. The police dog sniffed my daughter and went to the ground. My daughter had springbok testicles in her pocket.
Okay. So yet another cliffhanger. Am I not right?
Bloody yeah. hell.
How did she get them? Did she just pluck them all?
I've got so many questions.
That is incredible.
And she was 6.
Oh my God.
Oh my word.
Listen, that is insane.
Oh.
Because that's a situation, right? And especially, I've read stuff, and I think we've all seen shows about Hong Kong, what they like at the airport. That's not home affairs. Take a ticket number. It's the system there. They are happy to get a glove on and probe right up until your esophagus. They are.
They'll handcuff you before you can say testicles.
They are not playing around. What a situation! And for a young girl as well. Yeah. You know, she doesn't know what's what. It's in a different country. They're probably speaking a sort of a Cantonese Mandarin type of vibe. There's a whole lot happening. I'm sure they accosted like, hey, stay away, move around. You know what I mean? It's a pretty serious country, Hong Kong.
But Mbulelo, where's she going to pick up Springbok testicles? Like, were they just lying around and she just put them in her pocket?
From the animal?
Did she see a Springbok and go, oh, whip? Just like snip.
Did she find him on a cutting board somewhere? Was she in a butchery? Slaughtering?
There's a lot.
Smell that? There was we need answers.
I want to leave it at whatever you're thinking, you know, because kids are capable of anything. I mean, Martin probably packed them in a cooler box, you know. He sounds like a hunter. he would have done it properly. Oh, little, I don't know, let's guess the name. Anna Marie thought. You thought you had plans. I have plans for you, Dad. We're going to get to Hong Kong.
So Jean is saying that, she's just entering this chat and hearing like daughter Springbok testicles. What's going on? Let's just summarize what's happening and how we got here. So we're just talking about, you know, being in South Africa and really just being in places that you're not used to, and kids in December. And Martin was so kind enough to share with us that a couple of years ago, he traveled with his kid to South Africa from Hong Kong. And when the kids were in South Africa, they went back to Hong Kong. And when they got there, they found out that the daughter had actually, traveled with some Springbok testicles all the way across the world. So we also want to know what's going on.
Incredible.
All right.
In her pocket, by the way. Hey, randomly in her pocket.
Some people keep $20. Some people, Springbok testicles. Quite incredible. All right, let's get some headlines in the mix here. If you're into shoes, this is a thing for you. SA artist Esther Mahlangu, she customized a pair of now world famous, of course, Air Jordans, and her sneakers are now worth 7.5 million rand. South African artist Dr. Esther Mahlangu. So anyone can be a doctor, because Jacob Zuma is a doctor. But anyway, Dr. Esther Mahlangu is making waves internationally as her work is showcased in Dubai. A pair of customized Jordan 1 sneakers painted by Dr. Mahlangu was unveiled at the Expo in 2020 Dubai. The sneakers, which feature Ndebele designs hand-painted by Mahlangu using a chicken feather, cost about $500,000. What do we think about that?
I think Dr. Esther is iconic. She's just like done amazing work in terms of representing the Ndebele culture. Everything she touches, it just looks beautiful. So now the fact that she can do her work on a freaking Air Jordan, I want that shoe, but my tax bracket won't allow me.
You ain't gonna have it.
Like, that's for sure. All I can do is just sit and admire from the distance.
But what is she a doctor of? Like, I don't know of her, but is she a doctor of like
painting shoes?
No, she's like not doctor as in like, well, in terms of like education, I don't know, let me not lie, but I do know that her fame, in inverted commas, came from her ability to really draw on anything. I remember she did a whole BMW campaign where she redid the whole Ndebele look and feel and the textures and all of that on a BMW. And she's like an international sensation, like one of South Africa's better outputs. She is just like representing us.
Okay, but we must slow down on the doctor thing, because it used to mean something. Like, I don't want her being a doctor of filing papers and now it's a doctor. Like, we really do need to get things back in control. I hope she's not like a doctor of milking cows and now she's a doctor. It means something to be a doctor.
Oh my gosh.
People
okay,
work
so
really hard, yeah.
What we're not going to do is disrespect her. I think let's find out. Let's just check why she's a doctor.
Yeah. I'm not going to disrespect her, but I'm not having it if she's a doctor of like
Mbulelo,
philosophy.
I get your point, and working in a media newsroom, mm-hmm. What we do in the media in South Africa, and it's pretty much a worldwide practice, is we don't put the title doctor in front of anyone who's not a medical doctor.
Excellent. Yeah.
So I thought you'd like that. I love it.
Like people, some people do 7 years just to be called that, and some people go and study. I mean, crikey, right? You can't just be called okay, that doctor. But hey,
so
shout out
she
to
was
Dr.
actually
Esther.
Listen. She was conferred with an honorary doctorate by the University of Johannesburg.
Jesus. Okay, let's move on.
There you
all right,
go.
I'm done with it. I'm really happy. I'm so happy for her that she got all that money, but she's not a real doctor. So let's move on from that. Now, oh my God. OMG, as the kids are saying. A lady in her birthday suit. And I hope you guys have seen this video. All right.
Oh, yes.
Is it not the most electrifying thing you've ever seen? Now, I hate to be, a few people have messaged me because I'm not shy to throw the tribe's names out there. So I'm not going to, I don't want to be tribalist, but it was in Durban. I'll leave it there for which tribe that is, right? Now,
It said Strand, didn't it say Strand?
Right. So Capitec Bank confirmed that the woman who stripped naked and trashed one of its branches, it was in Cape Town, had also trashed other shops adjacent to the bank.
Say something.
Yeah, probably a Xhosa person, which is slightly embarrassing for me, but not surprising because I've got a warning for European guys that like our ladies about Xhosa women, but that's maybe a story for a bit later. It says, this comes after a video of the incident went viral on social media yesterday. Capitec told Mercury yesterday that it was perplexed by the matter and would try to get to the bottom of the incident. And essentially, Leanne, I mean, you're revved up about it. Maybe you can quickly tell everyone what happened. It's incredible stuff.
Yeah, so it was a woman in Strand in Cape Town who... all we have is the video. The video starts... There's no warning. There's no story. There's no beginning to the story. It starts with this naked woman behind the desks, the boarded up desks of Capitec in the middle of a branch where she'd walked in and she is now completely naked. No panties, no bra, just shoes, just sandals. And she is letting everyone have it. She's screaming, she's flucking, and she starts taking items off of the desk and throwing them onto the floor in a rage. She's throwing desktops and staplers and everything that she can onto the floor. And everyone is quietly, as they look panicked, but they're trying to stay, you know, on top of things, are now leaving the bank. So the customers and the people working there. As she moves from desk to desk, each worker actually gets up and starts walking out. So there is speculation that she was denied a loan from the bank and was just throwing her toys. I can add a little bit of context from my side, or not context, but
opinion.
Do you
know her personally?
Opinion. I felt that way before. I've wanted to literally strip my mur in a bank before. I've wanted to do something crazy. And so I'm on her side. I take my hat off to her. I take off all my clothes to her.
Wow. Okay, well, another rumor quickly here. Fundo Dada says, apparently she took a loan and paid most of it. And when she went to find out the due balance, there was literally no changes to the amount she owes. Mfundo obviously covering himself. He says, I stand to be corrected. But wow, what a situation.
I also heard there were quite a bit of rumors, but apparently she had taken out a loan for 60K and she had been paying it off for the past 4 years. And then this year when she went to, you know, sort of like settle it or whatever, they were like, no, but you still owe us like 52,000. She was like, what? They literally fucked her. Like, that's the one rumor. The other rumor is that she's just a crazy person because she may have done the same thing at like a Wimpy in the same mall or whatever. So there's speculation that could she just be like a crazy person going around messing things up, or really did Capitec do her dirty? But the real biggest thing is, like, damn, isn't that like a bit sucky to see like a grown woman naked in a store losing her mind? Like,
I Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know it's suboptimal.
Yeah, let's say that.
Yeah, incredible scenes. So, Leanne, have you ever stripped naked though in a bank?
Not last week, not the week before, but the week before.
All right. I mean, it's just a crazy story.
The closest I've heard to something like that before, and this was not a woman who had a mission. She did have a mission, but not she wasn't angry. My mom was driving home from work one day on the M1 in Johannesburg, which is a main highway, and there was standstill traffic. There were road repairs going on to the left of all of the cars and the lanes. So the municipality was there doing their stuff. They had truckloads of guys busy working on the road. And through the middle of all of these guys was a woman walking very casually with just her shoes on and not a stitch of other clothing. She had her clothes wrapped up under her arm. And she was walking like she was on a runway, parading through all of these men.
Wow, wow, wow.
For no apparent reason. And obviously, I don't know the end to the story because it came from my mom, who was in a car, who doesn't know the end of the story. Jeez. But she just felt like doing a little parade, a little body positivity march through.
Now I'll give
through
you
all the guys.
That's incredible. I'll give you some context as well on the story. I do have to apologize to the whole of the Zulu nation. I had suggested that it was the Zulu people that were doing that. If it's in Cape Town, it's likely a Xhosa lady. And being Xhosa myself, not shocked at all. So listen, Xhosa women, beautiful, but they do come like a bank loan with a kicker on the end, a little bit of interest, if you know what I'm saying. So look out for those. Yeah,
bit of spice.
That's a little inside info for you. But you know, if you like that, do what you must. On to the next story. SA's Damon, I don't know how I'm saying his surname, Galgut, wins a prestigious Booker Prize for his novel The Promise. The winner of Britain's prestigious Booker Prize was announced yesterday, Wednesday night. South African playwright and novelist David Galgut, 57, took home the top prize for his novel, The Promise, about a white family with a farmhouse outside Pretoria. Now, probably a place where Leanne would get chased by a cow. Of course, Pretoria, extremely rural still.
Rural.
Yeah, the whole of Pretoria, extremely rural. Covering the late apartheid era through Jacob Zuma's presidency, Galgut's book shows a family's growing disintegration as the country emerges into democracy. The New Yorker called it remarkable. The winner receives $68,000. Isn't it awesome to know that South Africans are still producing stuff that the world wants?
I love it.
And he's not like, he's not Elon Musk, you know? He's probably living in Pretoria or whatever, yeah, having to fetch his own water because Pretoria is a rural area. But that's awesome. That is awesome.
I love it. I mean, just like our Ndebele shoe doctor, yeah. from earlier, and hearing this story as well. I love these things. They make me so proud.
And it's the high arts as well. You know, it's not just like the Springbok or, you know, the Proteas. It's really the fine arts. And it's a cool thing. Like, we're doing it.
Amapiano.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Amapiano.
You laugh, but it's the truth. Amapiano is literally like a global sensation right now.
Yeah, oh, really? Absolutely.
It really is. Like, it's being exported by, like, the Major League Twins, like Focalistic and DJ Maphorisa and Kabza. Literally, like, it's one of the first times where South Africa, like the music industry, we're taking our genre, owning it, packaging it, and then taking it to the rest of the world. We're not waiting for the world to tell us, oh, okay, cool, that is actually nice. Whereas before, we'd kind of like not believe in ourselves enough. We'd sort of like sit back and wait. Now we're saying, you know what, we are so dope, we don't care what you think. And these people are touring all the time across the globe as we speak.
Yeah. We're dictating the trends, not following them, which is what I love.
100%.
Yeah. Very nice. And Lebang, maybe you could give a context for our international listeners what Amapiano is, what the vibe is there, because I actually have no clue, but I know it's a thing. Our colleagues in Piwe is super into it. She introduced me to Ipleni Lendile, which I didn't know about.
Oh, that was a cool one. But so Amapiano is a genre. It's a genre that is literally like the most true South African sound that you'll ever hear. It's like a combination of house music with like Kwaito music that's just really slowed down and like played on a 45 BPM. And when you listen to it, it just sounds, it's like, it just sounds amazing because you've never heard anything like it. Like, think back to the first time when you heard a new sound that you'd never heard before. It's interesting. Mm. It's like, ooh, is this? So with Amapiano, it's like that over and over and over again. And it's phenomenal. I mean, there's a couple of international artists who themselves have tried to have Amapiano songs. Mm. And the nice thing is that they are, you know, coming to South Africa for that kind of help and for the beats. So it really is showing the world what we are capable of. It's something just beautiful.
Unkhopotse says, Mbulelo, so white. Because I didn't know.
He didn't know.
Yeah, you got like.
He is.
You know, within black culture, there's a competition of how black you can be, Leanne. They just want to bring you back. Be will decide what blackness means. So I love it. What am I going to do? Pretend I know stuff I don't. You know, like I don't listen.
No,
to
there's nothing wrong.
The comment should not like have been it. So white. The comment should have been
so what?
So into sport. And fitness that you weren't taking notice of other cultural stuff around you.
Yeah. No, Leanne, you're being too nice. That's not what it is. Mbulelo is so white.
What?
The end. What? Like I can't imagine. I can't imagine how like Mbulelo is in the townships. Can't because he says things like, "Yeah, I'm a Gwinya, are holding back the country." Like what? Yeah.
No, they are. They are. They're causing cholesterol.
Do you see this?
Yeah. They are causing cholesterol, which means our health system is under more strain. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. Hey, I say it how it is.
So
I didn't
anyway,
say you have to like it.
That's no, and that's cool. Like the nice thing is that you own it and you know like where you are on the scale of like one to black. You're like a three. Mm. But
No. Milkiest cup of
tea. So this piano, there's. No, it's cool. Basitsana, what's the difference between Gom and Amapiano? Oh, okay, so Gom is from KZN. It originated in KZN in Durban. And if you remember an artist, Babes Wodumo, do you remember she had that that song? What was it again? Anyway, I forgot how it goes. But she was like one of the first big stars a couple of years ago because it was, again, this new sound with all these drums that we really hadn't heard before that made everyone dance. So that originated in KZN. Whereas Amapiano is more of like a Joburg, really the deep gassies. So like the Pretoria gassies, the East Rand, the Vosloorus, that's where it started. And it literally started in like people's back rooms. You know, like there's a sound called Mzongongo, where if you think about it, it's just like, doof, 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 doof. Like when you're sitting in a shack and the shack starts to like shake, that's the Mzongongo that we speak of. So it's very layered, but the point is it's all just great music and it's all just so unique and so us. Mm. Just Google some and trust me, you'll never go back.
No, that's fantastic. And speaking of that, you know, of having a good time, is I saw a comment just now. I can't find it now, but people want to know whether Basitsana ever got her butt plug. So I just thought that's something we must bring up. So if Basitsana is still with us, she should probably answer that. Do you guys want one more headline or do you want to move on?
Let's do one more.
Okay.
All right. It's down the middle.
Let's do Ching Chong Cha.
No, well,
that's the journalist in me. I'm like, more news.
News. We'll have one more. A gentleman called AKA.
Yeah.
He stars alongside Lorcia Cooper and Ricky Rick in new movie Nandi, Hip Hop Heavyweight. Now, I don't know if that's a commentary on his weight or whether the fact that he's done great work over the last decade or so. He's an absolutely brilliant musician. Hip Hop Heavyweight, AKA, can add actor to his resume of his latest post on Instagram is anything to go by. The rapper took to Instagram this week to announce that he would be making a cameo appearance in Nandi. AKA posted the trailer of the movie in which he is seen speaking to award-winning actress Lorcia Cooper. So AKA, interesting guy, hey?
Lorcia.
Obviously St. John's guy, so shout out to him going to a castle for a school, but interesting figure. I think he's always divided people in South Africa, whether his music, his persona, I lean into his personality type is that I like be who you are, say what you're thinking, So I like that side of him. His music, I'm a little lukewarm on, but that's great. He's doing well. But I like him as a figure. Is now he's doing acting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like when people spread their wings. I love it.
Yeah. I won't lie. Like, if there's somebody who deserves to just, like, get his flowers, it's AKA. He's been so, like, openly a douchebag from the beginning of his days. He's never wavered from who he is. I actually interviewed him on my show on Life with Lebang a couple of weeks ago, and he's just consistently been an asshole. And that's the nice thing. Like, he's not gonna fake being like friendly with you, and he's just straight up like, this is who I am, this is me. If you like it, shop. If you don't, shop. So I'm quite excited to see that movie. It's also nice to see, you know, artists doing other things within entertainment, because as you're saying, you know, there's the music side, but, you know, to see if there's a bit of a chance in other aspects is cool, because how many international artists are DJs, rappers, singers, and actors, and presenters? Like, they do everything. So it's nice to see that, you know, some of our own are also tapping into that. So I'm keen to see Nandi.
Yeah, and it's nice to see him bounce back. I really hope he's bounced back from obviously a tricky year for him with all that's gone on. So that's awesome. I know I'm really, really happy for him, and long may he. Hey, much success to you. I love it when people are doing well. Basana says she has ordered her butt plug. It is arriving on Monday. And if there's a Friday message that you want to hear, it's that, isn't it? Like, there's nothing worse than ordering a butt plug and it doesn't arrive.
I read it as I adored my butt plug.
Yeah, those are your headlines for this no politics Friday. So,
Did you see what happened to Somizi? Like, no. Apparently,
Whoa. When you say Somizi, hold on. I just need to, at this point, need to be very clear. He is not somebody I take seriously. He is a clown, but I enjoy going to the circus. Tell me everything. Every time I hear Somizi, I need to hear everything that's happened.
So, here's the tea, honey.
Yes.
So Somizi was booked to, like, appear or MC at, like, the grand opening of a hotel in Zim. So obviously the bag is great. They must have really, like, paid a lot just for him to be there.
In dollars,
so
probably
cool.
Cash.
Everything's nice. You know it. As, like, he's literally about to prepare to go or whatever, the ZANU-PF, like, the youth league and some of the churches in Zim had written a letter to the government saying, we should not allow Somizi into this country because Somizi is a homosexual. And if he enters this country, the spirit of homosexuality will spread amongst fellow Zimbabweans. So it's chaos. Like, he's just like, oh, it's like that. Screw you, Zimbabwe. I don't need you anyway. So there's, like, this whole back and forth, like a bit of a ruffle with regards to whether Somizi will make it into Zimbabwe or not. Find out next week on Dragon Ball Z. I am here for this. Yeah.
Do you know how important it is that we actually read the mandates of the parties that we vote for? You know that there are parties in South Africa who want homosexuality to be banned. Mm-hmm. And to obviously remove any marriage rights, who want abortion to be banned, who want religion to trump politics in every situation. There are parties that you could have voted for this time round who believe in all of that, and how quickly that could snowball into having the mindset of an entire country like Zimbabwe. When it comes to homosexuality, it's scary.
Yeah, look, it's no politics Friday, so I don't really want to get into the politics. Oh, yeah. Here's where I want to take it, though. I do want to talk about it, is that, do you remember that video? I think it was from Zambia, though. So I don't want Zimbabwean people catching flack for the Zambians, but do you remember the guy who was doing the video and he said, why are you gay? Do you remember the
yes. Yes.
So I imagine Somizi getting to the airport in Zimbabwe he goes to Betterbridge and they say, where are you going? And why are you gay? Yeah, shout out to him, hey?
Yeah.
It's a wow. Listen, Africa's...
He's standing up for himself.
And you know what? if you let an American or like a British person know about this, is that they still think we're one country. You know, they just think, oh, it's that it's that place down
it's
there.
Where,
yeah, all the bad stuff happens that place there. Whereas it's such an idiosyncratic place, right? If you're in sub-Saharan Africa, if you go to Arabic North Africa, right? My mother had the displeasure of living. She liked it, but I think the displeasure of living in Egypt for 6 years. So North Africa, they don't see themselves as Africans, by the way. Like the Algerians, they like we've had the great JJ Cornish has explained the sort of French Algerian conflict about how really they think of themselves as European, by the way. They do not. And if you think of the west of Africa, so my sister lives in the Ivory Coast, right? They are living a whole different life. Right, a whole different life. My mom did some work. The head of the UN is in Kenya, right? So I was fortunate as a child to spend quite a few holidays there. And that's the east coast of Africa, by the way. From west to north is completely. You could be in different worlds, not just a different continent. The music's different. The culture's different. How they look at themselves different. They look so different. You know, how they express themselves are so different. You know, more slender on the east coast. The West Africans, we know they've got Mbodi. They've got that Mbodi, a completely different way, a completely different diet, tropical. You come down south, obviously, we're the worst representation of Africans in terms of looking. We're not athletic or anything. We're quite plain as South Africans. But we're different, right? Zimbabweans, Zambians, us, Mozambique. Lebang, you're saying you're the best representation.
Plain? No.
Lebang's like, I'm not the worst. Extra.
Not even. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to, like, you know, bash my country and be like, yeah, we're not the best representation. We are what we are. We all like, sure, I get, like, contextually, I get it because, you know, there's other countries that are like, you know, chocolatey and musky, whatever. Dude, we are who we are. And that's that.
If you don't
love yourself.
Did you say chocolatey? Did you say chocolatey?
We're probably one of the most mixed countries as well.
Oh, yeah.
So there are a lot of people who are living the European life and thinking that they're European. There are a lot of people who are like, and all the different cultures and tribes, you can't generalize.
Yeah, and my point was, a European or an American person might hear the story and go, oh my God, in America? No, here is, by the way, Zimbabwe is a different place. You go to Cape Town, we all know. There's no why are you gay. They say, why aren't you gay in Cape Town? Why are you not gay? You know, really, really super liberal in Cape Town. So, and I just want to say,
give it a try.
Be open to outcomes. I just want to say, South Africa does have, and I'm not just saying this. You can ask the European guys because they always seem to come here on a 6 month visa and 3 years later they stay here. Is we do have some of the best looking ladies in the world. So that is no lie. That is no lie.
We are like quite a cocktail. So yesterday I went to an audition for a commercial and like I was in this line with like literally the biggest mixing pot of people I've ever been around. So like on
were
that
you
half
queuing
of the room,
nicely?
Yeah, were you queuing
I was,
nicely? Hold on, Lebang, I tell you what, we're going to take a break. That's a great teaser. I want to hear about you at the commercial, good looking South African ladies on the other side. Cliffcentral.com.